This episode is brought to you by Botanica Culture. Quick question. Have you been trying many brands of toothpaste, but your bad breath, mouth ulcers, receding gums, and bleeding gums still bother you on a daily basis and your dentist can't do much about it? Well, fret not. Botanica Culture has the solution for you. Say goodbye to your conventional toothpaste and say hello to Oral Botanica Classic Liquid Toothpaste. Oral Botanica Classic Liquid Toothpaste is a gift from nature, the safest, most effective organic toothpaste for sensitive teeth and gum disease. Created for daily use, Oral Botanica Classic is 100% organic and made from 6 remarkable botanical oils. It is free from harsh chemicals and synthetic ingredients and is even safe enough to swallow. In my opinion, it is also very convenient to use, especially when you're traveling. Not only does it come in a cute and friendly sized bottle, it is also a 3-in-1 product. Organic liquid toothpaste, mouthwash, and breath freshener. Oral Botanica Classic freshens breath, strengthens teeth, provides long-lasting protection from the bacteria that can damage teeth and gums, and prevents you from getting mouth ulcers too. Speaking of mouth ulcers, after using Oral Botanica Classic, it also hastens the recovery process and your ulcer will be gone in no time. So what are you waiting for? You can go to www.botanicaculture.com to upgrade your oral hygiene with your hassle-free oral care products now. As the saying goes, a woman who walks in purpose doesn't have to chase people or opportunities. Her light causes people and opportunities to chase after her. So, if you are actually looking to start your own business, climb up the corporate ladder, and want to be as successful as this amazing lady that's going to be on the podcast, then this episode is for you. Hi, my name is Rayson Chu, and I'm your host for The Legacy Show. And tonight, it's our honor and pleasure to have this woman who's walking in her purpose. And her name is none other than Laura Castleman. Laura is the CEO of JVZoo and co-founder of Vida Street. She has nearly 2 decades of experience in growing sales and revenue, improving customer service, and aggressively controlling expenses in competitive markets. Companies under her direction have landed on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing companies in America 4 times and increased revenue from $100 million to over $2 billion U.S. dollars. Laura is the recipient of Stevie Awards for both Executive and Woman of the Year, a CEO World Award for Female CEO of the Year, and a Pillar World Award for Employers Diversity Achievement of the Year. She has been published in major publications such as Inc. Magazine, Yahoo, which was recently, Forbes, and Entrepreneur as well. So without further ado, let's welcome this amazing lady into the house. Woohoo! Yeah! Laura!
Thank you so much. That was a mouthful. That was a big intro.
Oh, wow. I mean, when I have such a wonderful, inspiring, and beautiful lady, I got to make it more mouthful for you. And thanks for the compliments as well. Well, how have you been?
I've been so good, busy as always. Mm-hmm. I think kind of the things you were listing out lets you know that I'm always doing a lot. And so, I've been quite busy trying to wrangle both the toddler and run all the companies that I'm running.
Wow, it's definitely not easy to be a mom and also an entrepreneur at the same time. And there's a term they call it as mompreneur, right? And of course, definitely it is something that's still fulfilling because I've seen a lot of mompreneurs out there that's shining the light and they are moving the world with a lot of amazing, not just products, but also services and also like what you are doing as well. And they are inspiring a lot of women to get out of that comfort zone, to go out there to be the woman that they should be. And that's why this episode, we're going to talk a lot about that, as well as some of the tips that you have for people who are struggling in 2023 and also people who are ambitious to get their goals and their mission done for this year as well. Well, Laura, you know, I had that mouthful, but I'm pretty sure people that are tuning in, that are not so familiar with you, would want to know you a bit more better. So can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Laura Castleman. As you said earlier, I am a mom, and I'm also the CEO of JDZoo, the co-founder of Vita Street. I am currently working on another startup called Hesla Trades that's in the financial publishing industry. And I am also the author of Trust Your Increments, How Small Consistent Steps Can Lead to Massive Success.
Oh, nice. And wow, I love it that you are actually having a new startup. And of course, I've recently read the book that you have given me. It's really amazing. It's like full on something that everyone should actually go and check it out. You can go to Amazon, you can go to Kindle and all the other bookstores that's actually available right now to check out Trust Your Increments by Laura Castleman. This is truly an amazing book that you have to read for 2023. It's a must read for 2023 for everyone. All right. And okay. So what's this new startup going to be like?
Well, it's a financial publishing company. Mm-hmm. And that we have found an amazing female financial guru, so to speak, but she has 95% accuracy in picking her trades, and she trades alongside with you. So when you win, you know, she's winning too. When you lose, she's losing too. She's in it 100%. She's such a badass. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on your show. So I apologize if I'm not, but she is so amazing, working mom, and doesn't let up. And I'm so inspired by her, and I just wanted to partner with her and get started.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Wow. So when will this be fully launched? Or is it still a pre-launch phase?
No, so we launched in January. So we're still super fresh, right? And we've been just building our newsletter and our audience. And now we'll be probably in another month's time, we'll be going live with her on camera all the time.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Well, all the best for this new startup venture. And I'm looking forward to see it on news publications on how it has grown as well, like how you have helped JVZoo to become one of its best right now. And before we actually dive into the main focus of our interview, I would like to get to know you more in terms of can you tell us a bit about your backstory on how you become an entrepreneur? Because I understand that you used to be a dancer, and then after that you became an entrepreneur that's really, really successful.
Absolutely. So I grew up in the middle of a cotton field, basically, small southern country town. And we had three television channels. On those, I saw the Radio City Rockette dancers in New York City on the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade. And I thought, I'm going to do that. So from 3 years old on, I was just focused on my dancing and honing that skill and trade. Finally, I moved to New York City. I became a Radio City Rockette. And I realized, like, when I declare things, when I state them out loud, I say I'm going to do it, and then I put in the work, because that's part of the thing. You can't just manifest. You can't just throw something out to the world and think it's going to come back to you. You have to do the work. But I realized then that if I did the work, then I was going to land where I wanted to be, or at least in the vicinity of it, which was a lot further than where I started each time. And that was where I just got my motivation to just keep going always, and to, instead of being the person that, as I was older, said, oh, I always wanted to do that, or when I was a little girl, I said I was going to do that, I said, I won't do that. Every time I want to do something, I'm going to work towards it. And even if I fall short, I can pick myself back up from a starting point far closer than the previous one. So when I transitioned into corporate America after dance, my first position full-time in corporate America was an executive position, because I had been building my dance resume, was at the height of that career, but I also was building my corporate resume. So while I may have climbed slower than others in one or the, you know, other industries, I eventually ended up at the top of both.
Wow. Okay. So how long did it take for you to actually reach this journey of dancer to an entrepreneur? Was it like more than 20 years?
Well, no, because I was always doing two things at once, right? Once I
I
got out of
see.
college, I was full-time performing as a professional dancer. But then I would also, in my spare time, instead of doing what other people were doing and like going out and partying or hanging out because they had a full-time job, I was studying and/or working and starting at the bottom. Like I started as a personal trainer, and then I became a manager of gyms in New York City. And then I became a regional manager of gyms. And then, I just kept climbing up. When it was time for me to transition, I went into a different industry. So by the time I retired from dance, I had an executive position
Okay.
waiting for me.
Well, it's not easy, to be able to study and work at the same time, and of course, to build yourself such a great brand for yourself and a reputation of a women CEO that's so powerful in nature. And when I saw that you were with one of the person that inspired me the most, and that was Tai Lopez, I was like, okay, you have a lot of awesome connections, Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary, and then even like the original Shark as well, and so many of these people, and I was like, wow, when I got to know more about you and read your book, I realized that, hey man, this lady is on fire. And of course, I'm pretty sure while you're building yourself up in terms of your career wise, you would have made some mistakes, you have some failures along the way. So do you have a favorite failure of yours, and how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Sure. So my favorite failure, and I actually talk about this in my book, is I was a teenager. I was auditioning for
Yes.
my first or second professional dance job. And there was a girl that was too young to be hired for the job. She was 12 auditioning, and she was from the same area that I was from. So I knew her. I knew her mother. And she was 12 years old and out dancing all of us. I mean, circles around us, mind blowing. Like the kind of talent that you look at, and the only thing you can do is be amazed or jealous. And my failure was in that moment, I chose to be jealous and intimidated. I let someone's greatness make me feel inferior instead of letting it motivate me. And to this day, it's the only thing I've ever walked out of. I walked out of the audition after I got in my own head and played mind games with myself. I got in the car with my mom. I cried. And then I realized that the thing I felt worst about was that I had done it to myself. I wasn't inspired by her greatness. I allowed myself to feel less. And I learned at that very young age, like, and it wasn't from my mom talking to me, it wasn't from anything else. It was simply sitting in my feelings and understanding I had done it to myself, and then realizing I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't. That one, we are always going to find people better than us. I hope so anyway. Otherwise, where is inspiration coming from, right? We've got to find people that are better than us in life and work towards things that we learn from people, pull in here and there. But also, failure is part of it, right? Failure is part of it, unless we say, this is it. I failed and I won't try again. But the reality is, anyone who's succeeded, anyone who's done great things, has failed repeatedly until they finally didn't fail. And we love the success story, but we don't like to talk about, and these are all the times I failed. But the reality is, anyone who's accomplished success has failed repeatedly.
Yes, I agree with you. People like you, and you reminded me of some amazing lady that's entrepreneur and speakers as well, like Marie Forleo, and even
Yes.
like, oh yes, you are
Big
like
fan.
you're like the female version of Gary Vee as well, in a sense. You
Wish.
talk. I mean, when you talk, you are really straightforward, and you're somebody that is not, who like to beat around the bush kind of
Right.
person, and I really love it. And that's why, it reminds me of Marie Forleo, Lisa Bilyeu as well. So
Yes.
yeah, amazing, amazing. And when you actually said that you actually met this failure, and I'm pretty sure that was I remember that was she, that lady was, that girl was 12 and you were 16 when I read from the book.
Yes.
And of course that that point of time, you felt intimidated and all. And for those who are tuning in, if let's say they are actually starting out their business and they are actually wanting to build their business up, well, one thing is they feel intimidated, they are feeling insecure about it, they are not confident about it because their competitors are doing way better, and some of them are even younger than them, like how you actually went through that process. So what would you advise them to actually grow out of that stage where they should be more confident about what they are doing, and also at the same time be able to focus on their craft and be one of the better ones in this competition out there?
I would say, number one, if you have something that no one's ever done before, it's never been done, well, then you are in your own league. But the majority of the time, we're not inventing something new, right? The overwhelming majority of the time, it's not a fresh, brand new idea. It's taking something that already exists and presenting it differently or better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one, when you're doing that, the biggest thing is you've already taken from these other people that you're probably looking up to. You've already taken the information they've shared, the knowledge that they're sharing, the ideas that they've thrown out there that have all gathered in your head to put you on this path, but then get off the comparison path. Now it's only about what you're doing, right? So you've got to make your plan. You've got to have a thorough plan detailed all the way down to the steps that you've got to work in that plan to get from point A all the way to your goal. And then all you do every day is focus on working that plan. It's not about they're already here and I'm starting here. Of course they are. That's where you got all these great ideas and this is what they've shared. But the only person you need to be comparing yourself to daily is yourself of yesterday. Did I do the work yesterday? What am I doing today that builds upon that work yesterday? That's it. Get out of your own head, start putting action into play.
Awesome. Okay, nice. Yes, I totally agree with you on that, that we have to, you know, get out of our head of like all those negativities, negative self-talk, in fact, telling yourself, hey, you know, I'm not that good enough, that person is better and all, and we have to stop that comparison and we will be better, be able to implement on whatever that we want to do and focus on what we want to do as well, because we are not looking at what other people are doing already, right? Okay,
exactly.
Cool. All right, cool. And I just want to ask you, right, you know, when you were actually facing challenges, probably work career challenges, right? How do you stay motivated when you are having all these challenges in place?
Well, I would love to tell you that I never get frustrated, that I never curse, that I never like get in my head, but I do, but I only allow myself 5 minutes, right? So like if I'm frustrated, if I'm in a bad mood, it's 5 minutes, right? Get it out, yell, scream, call your friend that you can vent to, call your mentor, whatever, and then get on with it. Because if you sit there in it, then the only thing that's gonna happen is that you're gonna remain the same. You're not gonna fix the problem. You're not gonna move forward. You're not gonna learn from it. But I've got goals to accomplish personally. So I'm not gonna get in my own way anymore, right? I've already made that decision in my life that I'm going to learn, I'm going to move forward. So I look at failures or days that stink as, hey, what can I learn from this day? What can I learn from this failure? How is this going to make me or this process better?
Okay, cool. All right, and you know, when we were actually talking about challenges earlier, can you tell us more on like what are the fundamental challenges faced by women entrepreneurs and how can they overcome them?
Well, there is a lot of inequality and systemic sexism out there. And so I think one, my book is written to say, we can get bogged down in this, we can. But my goal is to play the game until we're in the place to change the rules. So that's how I played and it stunk. But now my company's not run like that. None of my companies are. I don't do those things. And we talk about it. Like when I see someone interrupt a female, I say, oh, she wasn't done talking. right? It doesn't need to be aggressive. It doesn't need to be in anyone's face. And a lot of times when people are doing things to cut off a woman or undermine her, they actually don't realize it. So many times it's so, everybody's accustomed to it. The way of dismissing a female, whereas you would never interrupt a man, is it's something that has happened repeatedly. So now it's more of just a gentle reminder and then allowing that person to talk or finish what they were saying or present their good idea. And then the other thing is paying people equally, not by gender or race, but paying people for the job requirements and the output of those job requirements.
Okay. Yeah, especially in sexism in mm-hmm. in workplace or even in businesses, especially mm-hmm. when I read about how you actually went through a phase where you actually had to be, I would say, scrutinized a little, because, you know, when they emailed you, they call you, hey, Bobby. And then after that, you know, even though with all due respect, you really look beautiful like Bobby. but of course, you know, they would have started using a different term, especially, or even when you were talking to someone who is like a stakeholder or something, and he thought that you are a girlfriend of someone, and that made you like, hey, come on, man, I'm smart. I'm not somebody that is just there to just, you know, take a position to just be judged as a girlfriend, right?
Exactly. And I think a lot of times people think it's okay in a business setting to comment on a woman's looks, her appearance. But the mm-hmm. reality is, if you aren't doing those same comments to men, then it is inappropriate. And that's the way to look at it. If you would never like go up to a man and before you've met him, you don't know him, say, hey, Ken, like he's a Ken doll, Barbie's, you know, mm-hmm. male counterpart, then you certainly shouldn't be going up to a woman saying, hey, Barbie, or commenting on her legs, or, you know, it's just so ingrained. And that's why I'm saying a lot of times it's really not intentional. It's not meant to demean, but it does. And so I don't show up to business meetings so that people can tell me like, wow, you're really pretty. No, I want to leave that meeting with people saying that was a great idea, or, you know, that will fix our issue here, as opposed to someone saying like, wow, she's really pretty. Because now I don't even know if you heard what I said or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Well, agree. I agree with you on that. And that is why men and women have to be equal in a sense, even though we are not equal yet in this society. But we have to make it, because back in the days, last time, women cannot, if I'm not mistaken, in the States, women cannot sit on the bus or something, right? And then they have to stand or something like that, right? If I'm not wrong. And then that's when
that's more of a race issue. That was a race issue.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes. All right. Yes. And that's why sexism, racism, these things should have no place in the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. We should pay people based off of what are the job requirements, what are the qualifications, and what is the output of work? That's it. It should, mm-hmm. nothing else should matter. Is this person qualified? Do they know the work? And can they give us the output that we need? And then here's the pay range. And it's the same for everyone. And that's it.
Right. Understand. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Very passionate about this.
Yes. I can sense that, especially from your book as well. When I read, it's like almost the half of the book is all about all these things on sexism and how we should be overcoming this and how women should stand up for themselves. And I agree with you on that. And we shouldn't be like any Andrew Tate over here kind of thing, right? Yeah, guys have, even though guys love to have a Dan Bilzerian or Andrew Tate kind of lifestyle in a sense, that some,
okay, sure.
but that follow this kind of pickup artists or this kind of misogynistic chauvinism kind of lifestyle. But of course, in true fact, we wouldn't want that to happen to our daughters if they have to have the guys who are like this playing on them and cheating on them and things like that, which will affect them. And of course, they are being judged in the workplace for, you know, for just being a girl who has to go for, you know, maternity leave and all, and then after that, yeah, it will be pretty bad in a sense. And I wouldn't want my future daughter to have this kind of thing. And we want it to be lowered down, like how you want it to be as possible, lower it down and go to ground zero if that's possible.
Right.
Exactly. And I would like to ask you, what is the one thing you wish for all female entrepreneurs everywhere to know?
I don't think it's just for entrepreneurs. I think it's for working women.
Okay.
Is that, cool. Yes, that we have to stick together. We have to celebrate each other's wins. That when one woman gets paid higher, we have to celebrate those things. We can't ask questions like, what did she do to get there? How did she get that pay? How is she so successful? We have to stick together, because if we don't, we will still be fighting this fight decades from now. Our grandchildren, our female grandchildren, will still not be paid equally. Yeah. We could, if all women band together right now, we would knock this thing out in months. There would be equal pay in months. But right now, we're looking at 230 years plus for equal pay. That is insane to me. The right. fact that the things I've experienced personally, my daughter will have to go through those same things, that is enough to make me say, I don't care if I agree with this woman's lifestyle. In business, she should be treated equally. I don't care what color skin this lady has. In business, she should be treated equally as a white man. You know, it's not just male versus female. You know, I don't know what else to say other than, if we aren't being transparent about our pay and we aren't fighting for the same things, then women, we will always lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. If we don't fight for our rights, then of course we'll always lose. If we don't ask, we will never get what we want, in a sense, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. And wow, I agree with you on that. And I love the fire, the passion that you have for women, especially, you know, for your daughter as well. I feel that, you know, we need to educate the society about, and it's not about the race, it's not about the sex, it's about how we want to survive and even thrive for our own businesses, our individually as a person as well, our lifestyle. It's not so much about, hey, I hate on you because you are white or you're Chinese or you're female, kind of thing. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Wow, love it. And I would like to ask you, right, recently I actually watched a YouTube video of your interview with Authority Magazine, if I'm not mistaken. And it really sparked me when you said this, and when they asked you this question, and that's this. What are the five things you wish someone told you when you first started?
Okay, so as a CEO or an entrepreneur, there are always going to be fires to put out. There's always something right. that seems like an emergency. But you have to be able to determine which fires, if you don't get involved, will burn down the company, and which ones can your teammates handle, or will they burn out on their own? Because if you are constantly running around putting out fires yourself, you're not growing the business. You're not thinking forward with the business. So that's number one. Pick and choose your fires. You've got to learn to identify the ones that will burn down the business if you're not involved, and then the rest that your team can handle, or they're just going to go out on their own.
Okay.
Another one, and this one's wildly important. Criticism is part of the job. You are never, ever going to please everyone. And in fact, if you're doing something right, you're probably making someone mad. So stay focused on the end goal. Know what it is, the purpose of your business, and do not let naysayers get in your way. So that one's big. Work-life balance, farce. There is no such thing as a work-life balance. If you are going to accomplish anything, especially with a startup, you are putting so much time and energy into it that there's no such thing as like, hey, I go to work. Especially if it's an entrepreneur or an executive, you don't go to work and work like 9 to 5 and then get to leave work, not think about the business, not be worried about things, not get called or pulled in other directions, and then just get to go chill. That's not reality. There are, yeah, you want to plan strategies for down the road to be able to hand things off, but startups require a lot of time. And if you're an entrepreneur or an executive, then you know, like, there are more requirements to the job. Number four is a circle of truth tellers. A lot of times when we own a business or run a business, people want to say, yes, yes, that's brilliant. That's a great idea. We should do that. They want to say yes to you because they think you're in charge and they want you to like them. I don't want people to always say yes to me. I need people to say, that's great, but, or to say, I see where you thought that was a great idea, but that's an awful idea. And let me tell you why. I need people that are going to be realistic with me, not people that are just always going to say, whatever Laura says is great. It's not always. I go through phases where I don't have great ideas. I know the end goal, but I don't know how to get us there. And that's why I hire really smart people so that they can tell me and, you know, give me feedback. And I can trust that I hire these intelligent people for these reasons. And then I would say that number five is, yes, if you are an entrepreneur, if it's your company or you're an executive, you need to know a lot about what you're doing, but you don't have to know everything. You have to know mm-hmm. where to go to find the information. And I think this is really important to tell our kids too, right? Like, there's no way that you can absorb all the information in the world, but you have to know yeah. where to go to get the information and factual information, because now with the internet, right? You can access all this stuff. Doesn't mean it's true just because it's on the internet. So you have to know where to go to get reliable information and feedback.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that. And especially what you've mentioned, like, we need some Simon Cowell and Gordon Ramsay kind of people to talk to yeah. us, in a sense.
Yeah,
we can't be always have so many yes people, right? Saying, oh, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes, or else it will ruin the whole company because you listen to all these yes men, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you want your business to thrive, not to like get started and be going and then just crash because everybody's saying yes.
I agree. And also at the same time, I noticed that you mentioned that everyone who thinks that being an entrepreneur, you can go 9 to 5, and after that, you know, you have that relaxed lifestyle kind of thing, computer by the beach kind of thing. But is it true that the 4-hour work week is still relevant these days? Like, you know, is it like you have to work, hustle so many years until that 4-hour work week comes by for you, or it's never such a thing at all? It's just fluff.
So this is my opinion on the 4-hour work week reality. Either one,
okay,
you have built your business up enough, you've got enough key players in place that you can trust them, and then you're just doing the overview, the top product, right? So you're mm-hmm. coming in, you're giving your executive team the information, you're making sure that they understand it, and then you're out. Or that you've got enough money from day one to pay for that. You know, otherwise, I mean, I've read the book. I've read it twice, actually. I can tell you that none of the entrepreneurs that I know and or super famous people that we all know are only working 4 hours a week.
Yeah, true.
And you know, we're in a new phase too, where everybody's like, hustle culture is bad. Hustle culture is so bad. It's going to drive us all crazy. We're all going to be sick. Stop that. But here's the reality. The hustlers will always win. It's like the early bird gets the worm. It's cool if that's not what you want, right? Like what mm-hmm. I want in life doesn't need to be what anyone else wants. But you need to understand, if you want something and this other person wants it, and you're only going to work 4 hours a day or 9 to 5, and this person's willing to work 12 to 18 hours a day, they will get it long before you. And there may be none left for you by the time they're done. That's reality.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Man, this is so much gold, so much value bombs that's been dropping here. Wow, love it, love it. And I just want to ask you, right, you know, I'm pretty sure while you're building your business up, you would have met quite a lot of mentors. Mm-hmm. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from them?
So I have been fortunate to be in rooms with great people, right? And super famous people. Right. And don't get me wrong, I use those pictures for social proof. You see it on my website. You even mentioned several of those people you saw on my website. But the single best piece of advice that I ever received was when I was a teenager, and it was from no one famous. It was from a dance instructor at a huge convention. There were thousands of dancers in a room, and he was so frustrated with us all because it was an advanced class, and it should have only been advanced dancers. But there were people that just wanted to take his class, so they were, you know, intermediate or beginner dancers in there. And he got frustrated, and he finally said, "Stop, look around the room. If there's not one person that's better than you in this room, that inspires you, that you look to and say, that is where I want to be next. That is what I'm going to rise to. That's what I'm going to work for. And there's not one person in this room that you can say, I remember when I started there, I grew from there to here, then you're in the wrong room." And to me, that has carried over since then. If you're giving a lecture, if you are teaching someone, then yes, you need to be the best in the room, right? You're there to present, you're there to teach others. But if you find yourself consistently the smartest person in the room, or consistently so far behind that you feel panic because you can't keep up, you don't know how to have a conversation with the people in the room, you can't speak intelligently about the subject, then you're in the wrong room. You need to be cushioned, kind of like an Oreo in the room. You need to be the cream, and there need to be people that you can say, yeah, I do remember when I was there. You can reach out to those people and say, hey, I was just there a year ago. Don't get down on yourself. But you need to have someone there for inspiration to say, I'm going to be there next.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah, I agree with you that we cannot be the best in the room, because once you're the best, you cannot progress even more.
Yeah. Exactly. And equally so, don't be surrounded by people that intimidate you so much because they're so much more advanced than you in this subject that you can't even absorb the information. That you need to take it two steps back and start at the beginning where these people are senior level in what they're doing.
Yeah. That's why Gary Vee always say you got to reverse engineer whatever this person have done it before you, and then you can see how you can actually do it for yourself.
Exactly. You can't just say, I want to do that and start at the top. You got to do the steps. So like after you've reversed engineer it, like Gary says, you got to start at the bottom and work the steps all the way up to the top.
Right. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that more intelligent ways haven't been invented since that person did it. It doesn't mean that there's now not new technology to help you get there faster, but you can't skip the steps.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, never skip a step. There's no shortcut to success in a sense, like, there's always things that you have to go through. All the steps that Albert Einstein has went, you also have to go through that step. Probably you got some steps faster ahead than him, but you still have to go through the same steps as him in a sense, right?
That's right. Yeah. And utilize the new tools that are out there. Use them. Be smarter about it than the previous person, but they paved the way.
Right. Wow, I love what your dance instructor has mentioned. I mean, is he or she still alive?
Still alive, but no longer dancing. Much older now.
I see. What's his or her name? Do you mind mentioning?
I'm going to keep it to myself. They're no longer in the spotlight.
Okay. Cool. Understand. All right. And I'd like to ask, right, I'm pretty sure some of us or some of our listeners who are tuning in right now, they would be having a slow start, right? They would be a bit struggling and all. So what's your advice to the listeners who are having a slow start to 2023?
Okay, so if you've made your plan for the year and you know the steps, like you've broken down your yearly goal into months and then into weeks, and in today's, which I truly believe we have to do that. Like we really do. If you're working the steps, but things aren't progressing as fast as you want to, that's okay, right? it's okay if your full 2023 doesn't happen until mid 2024, as long as you're progressing still. But if you haven't even broken it down and you don't even know the steps to get there, but you just think it's going to magically happen because you keep showing up and sitting in front of your computer or your desk each day, that's not realistic. So make sure that you've broken it down. You know what has to happen to get from point A to point B, and that you're doing the steps each day. And like I won't reach over and grab them all, but I have a stack of these. And at the front of every single one, for every single company, the steps are there for the year, right? And there's one for every single company that I work for. And every single day I have my to-do list, but I also take the notes from my team calls of all my people's to-do list, so that when I follow up with them, where are they on the list? Because if you're on my team, you're not going to keep me from getting to where I need to be because you didn't do your steps. So I'm following up with my team, and it could be that they have a roadblock, and that's my job to remove their roadblock. So I'm not mad if they didn't do their steps, unless they just chose not to. I'm only mad if they didn't come and communicate with me, right? So communicate with me. I'm going to follow up with you. I'm going to find out, hey, what's going on? And when they say, well, I couldn't get this done because here's what happened, and I need this from this person and this from this person, I'm going to be like, great, let me get those things for you. Boom. Now we can all move forward together. But at the end of each week, I literally have my to-do list every single day, and I'm checking them off, or I'm Xing it because, hey, we've now removed this step. And the reason we removed it is because either we found out that what we thought was right wasn't, or we could bypass this step in a smarter way. But then all my tabs, these are my tabs of like, you're still writing all this stuff. I'm still going forward, but you didn't finish this. So you have to come back every day and look at this, which, by the way, it's another Laura to-do list. And there's one thing unchecked on this list, just one, but it's playing into something that's actually here. So these two are still tied together. And I never skip a step, and I never leave a day without pulling things over that I need forward if I didn't finish them.
Wow. Impressive. Oh my God. This.
So the book, Trust Your Increments. These are my increments. These are my small, consistent steps. And you started this by reading out this long list of titles and awards that I have, which even I was tired of listening to. But the reason I have all those things is true. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares anymore, right? Like, but the reason I have accomplished all these things is that I break it down and I work the steps. I work the steps every day.
Okay.
So if you're behind, that was the longest answer ever for if you're behind in 2023. But the thing is, you know your steps. If you don't know how to get there, and I don't care if you use technology, a notebook, whatever, to plan out your year. But if you don't know the steps, that's number one why you're failing. And if you aren't every day coming in with a clear picture of what do I need to do today, that's why you're failing. But if you are, and you do know the steps, and you are working them, and it's just slower than you thought, then let go of what you thought should happen this year, and just keep working the steps so you will still get there.
Okay, got it. Wow, so for those of you who are tuning in, remember what Laura has mentioned, just do it, get the things done, and if you have not done it before, you have not done it, and you still are lagging behind, just put on a sticky note or whatsoever to remind yourself that, hey, you got to do it today or not, you have to do it later. As long as you get it done, it's great. It's a step of progress towards where you want to be. And you know, just now we were talking about steps as well, and also talking about your book as well. I noticed that you have 15 incremental steps. So can you brief us through what are the 15 incremental steps an individual can take in order to take control of their life and find success without losing who they are?
Sure. So I'll give you some of these. Like, one I have in this list is to know your objections and to crush them. I always look at this as like, if you ever watched 8 Mile with Eminem, and at the very end, he comes out and he uses everything that they could use against him first, right? He uses them and takes that out of their playbook. So I believe that in business. If you are going into a meeting and there's something that you need, whether you're going to ask for an investment or you're going in to ask for a pay raise, or whatever it is, you need to know why they're going to say no. And you need to be prepared. And when you go in, you present your ask, right? You're asking for something. You need to give them the reasons why. And then you need to go ahead and state their, I realize this may be something that is concerning to you. Let me tell you my plan for that, right? Mm-hmm. So know your objections and crush them before anyone can utilize them against you.
Nice.
That's a, love it. That's a huge one, right? So that's a big one. Another one, which we've been talking about this whole time, is to plan your end result, work backwards. Just like how Gary Vee says it, just how I do it in my notebooks every single year. Know where you want to end up and work backwards and then work the steps until you get there, right? Mm-hmm. It's better to get there late than it is to never arrive.
Nice. Well said. Well said. Yes.
I think another one, and this goes for everyone, but it's particular to women, is to realize no is not a four-letter word. You need to use the word no when people ask you to do something that doesn't support your goals or your job. No is a word that, in particular, women are afraid to use because then we're going to be considered not likable or difficult to work with. When the reality is, if you've been given an assignment at work or you have a goal in life, if someone's asking you to do something that doesn't support that assignment and you're always helping out your colleagues reach their goals and hit their deadlines, or you've got all these plans, whatever they may be in your own company or your own life, and someone's like, hey, like, we want to go to brunch this weekend, or we're going out tomorrow night or whatever, you have to be able to say no. No, that doesn't support my goal for now. I need to get my rest tonight, or I don't have time this weekend because I'm working on this side project, my side hustle on the weekend. You need to know where you want to go and be able to say no to things that don't support that direction. Because it's when we say yes to everything, right? When we don't want to let people down and we say yes and we do all the things, that we let ourselves down. And that is soul crushing. That is what, like, takes away our fire in life. When we're doing all these busy things, and none of them are getting us towards the things we dream of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Now, I agree.
I can keep going on these steps all day long, or you can go buy my book, Trust Your Increments.
Yes, must buy it. Like I mentioned way back earlier, and that is, you have to buy this book, right? Because it is really good, and not just that, it has a lot of value in it, and you can actually get out a lot of things that I have actually gotten out, other than sexism, as that we need to crush it, but we also can actually work on our goals and our dreams based on all the steps that Laura has shared with us in her book as well. And I'd like to ask you, right, we have two more questions to go and we'll be done. Okay, I was just going to ask you, as we are starting out, and you know, being an entrepreneur is not so easy. Being entrepreneur in whichever field that we want to be, sometimes it's pretty hard for us to charge based on what we think it's our worth. So can you share with us, like, what are your tips on how we can actually get paid what we are worth in whatever that we're doing?
Sure. So I am a big believer, right, in asking for what you're worth, but how do you determine that? So one, you do your research. You need to know, for this job, what is the average pay range, right? And if you are new and you don't have the experience, then just accept that you're not at the top of that pay range yet. You're at the bottom, but go in knowing you're not going to accept less than the bottom of that pay range. Now, if you are completely starting out, this is a brand new business. This is another thing. People are saying never, ever work for free. I see it all over social media right now. Now, that's your personal choice. But for me, I'm going to build up my resume so that I can ask for more money and that I am worth it. So I may go to smaller businesses or friends and say, hey, I realize that you need this, or your website hasn't been updated, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But say, I would love to do this for you. No charge. I'm going to do it. I'm going to present it to you. If you love it, you use it, and you let me, you allow me to use it as an example of my work. So I'm going to do that. And while you may be over here not working for free, I've over here, I've done three jobs that I have to go show the next person that I'm going to ask for money from, right? So right. The choice is yours. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to do one or the other, but I am going to tell you that I'm working my steps. And if my step is giving away three free things so I can have three great examples as opposed to, well, I haven't done one yet, I'm going to get the job before you do. I'm going to get the higher paying job before you do. And that's reality. And if you're willing to accept it, good. Otherwise, come to compete with me. Come to the table with your three examples too, right? And we'll see who they right. choose. And it may be you. Your work may be better than mine. But if you're not doing the work, then you don't get to say, I deserve this pay. But if you right. are doing the work, come prepared. I've done my market research. Comparable positions, right, are within this range. I'm being paid 10% less. I'd like to ask for the increase of 10%. And I'd like to also request that we come back and revisit this in 90 days. Mm-hmm. You have to come prepared. You have to say, like, I've done my research. Otherwise, if you just show up and say, I'd like a raise, why? Why do you want the raise? Let me know how you're contributing to the company. Let me know what you've done. Let the person know that you're asking. This isn't just the market range or the expectation of payment in this industry for this job with my requirements, but also these are the contributions I've made, and whether those contributions increase revenue or those contributions increase morale of other employees, whatever it is, let me know what you did. Let me know, aside from just what I've asked you to do, what extra you've done or how your work has improved for the things for the company. Doesn't matter if you think it's too small, right? I don't care if you think it's right. too small. Let me know, because now I see your value and you're right. You were right then, and I cannot argue.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree with you on working for free first. And mm-hmm. because, you know, everyone, even Tony Robbins started out working for free before he actually started get paid from thousands and thousands of dollars for all his programs. And I'm pretty sure you also had to go through this kind of process as well, being paid. Being working for free and then after that get paid in a sense.
In fact, an example, when I came to JVZoo, I came on as a consultant. I took a massive pay cut, and I do mean massive. And I just said, that's okay, but I want to revisit this in 90 days. In 90 days, I was their COO. Big difference.
Consultant, wow. CEO.
Right?
Okay,
and in less than a year, I was the CEO. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes you do need to take a step back to go forward, but be ready. And don't just go, like, if you have experience and you've always made more, but now you find yourself without a job and you need a job and you're scared to take a job that pays less, accept the job if it's a job you want. Accept the job, but then do it with the caveat that right there when you're accepting it, we revisit my pay in 90 days. And then my pay, it gets determined by my output of work, because I am so willing to show off for 90 days to show you I am worth what I've asked for.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. I agree with you on that 90 days, telling them, hey, I'm going to show you my worth, 60 days, 90 days or whichever. And then after that, you prove it. And then after that, okay, you're going to pay me as according to what I can prove for you what my value is. Okay, got mm-hmm. it. Love it, love it. And one last question, and that is this. Okay, imagine this, Laura. You suddenly lose everything, your money, your reputation. What would you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
Okay, so I'm gonna argue against one thing. I can lose everything, my possessions, all my money, everything, but I'm not gonna lose my reputation. My reputation is actually what I have built by doing good business from day one. So okay. I think that's a big thing to realize, is that even when it doesn't feel good, even when it feels like people are getting ahead, when you know they're undermining other people or they're doing business that's not clean, you have to make the choices to do the right thing and to do good business. To do good business deals. I give away information for free all the time to clients that never hire me. But you know what? A year later, 2 years later, those people circle back around. That's right. Because my reputation speaks for itself. Because they know I helped them when they needed it, when other people came in for an offering price lower than mine. And they were like, I'm going to save. And really what those people did was take from them because they weren't qualified to do the position, to do the job, to do the consulting, whatever it is. So if I lost everything except my reputation, I would be able to start over from square one. One, I could then ask for favors because I've given so many away. And okay, two,
right.
And two, I know that I'm going to keep doing good business. And in the end, people want to do business with me over someone that they know is just taking them for a ride.
Mm. Wow, love it. Yeah, I agree with you. And but what if reputation has been taken away from you? What will you do differently then?
Well, I will tell you this. On the internet, which is how we all communicate these days, you can be anybody. Right now, right? Until we move fully into Web3, which that's not anytime soon. Right now, you can be anyone that you want to be. So I would 100% present myself as a white male on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh. I would build my website with my services, and I would go and send emails pitching people as a white male for my jobs that I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That's really interesting. That's really innovative.
Okay. I'm really entertained by this idea. I don't foresee this happening, but I will tell you this. Even in my support desk, I have mm-hmm. a female that signs off all her answers, her help tickets with a male's name. Because now that she's changed her name from a female to a man, no one questions her answers. They all accept them at face value. And the answers are correct. But when it was a female answering people, they would give kickback and constantly come back and say, but what if, I don't think you're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, true. Well, yeah, wow, that makes sense. Okay, wow, that's really innovative. Okay, so for all women out there, if you need more light, you know, shine on you in terms of all this sexism, inspiration, and all, go and check out Laura as well, and also her book, Trust Your Increments. Okay, and with that, I would like to thank each and everyone for tuning in for the Legacy Show. And of course, I would like to thank Laura for all the insights that she has dropped and the value bombs that she has really dropped a lot over here. Where can my audience find you?
You can find me at lauracastleman.com or on Instagram at @TheLauraCastleman.
Awesome. Okay, sure. Well, with that, thank you so much once again, and stay tuned for the next episode of the Legacy Show next week, and see you guys real soon. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right. So with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Legacy Show.